All right, so obviously things are set up a little different today. What we're going to do is a Bible study on healing instead of the normal just teaching. We're trying to shake things up, do things a little differently from time to time. So this is class participation. It's a Bible study. We want to hear what you have on your mind about these things also and the things that you've learned and so forth. So let's pray and we'll get started, huh? Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you. Your Holy Spirit lives in us and teaches us and guides us. And we invite you and thank you for being in the midst of us right now, for inspiring your word, giving us revelation of your word, that you'll work. You say where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst. So we're relying on your spirit to bring revelation through each one of us. And bring good communication about your word, that we will see your healing in the word and the way to appropriate your healing in our bodies. And we just thank you so much that it is already done. And we welcome whatever you want to do in this Bible study this morning. May we have an ear to hear your voice in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hi, come on in. Grab a seat. Yeah, come on in the circle. Okay, can everybody go to 2 Peter chapter 1? 2 Peter chapter 1. Thank you. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, this isn't necessarily a healing portion of Scripture, but I think we can find it in there. So what we're going to do is we're going to open this up and look at it and see what we could pull out of it, okay? So let me read the portion here, the first four verses, and we'll break it down. So it says, chapter 1 to verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's a rich passage there, isn't there? There's so much there. So let's just, right off the bat, because this is healing class, right? And we want to look at how we see healing in this. Do we see healing in this anywhere? Mm-hmm. Can somebody want to share where you see healing in this?
I see it right off the bat with like precious faith as Peter has. Because you know, Peter walked by people in his shadow, healed people. Mm. There's healing right there.
Right.
And then through the righteousness of God, because he took our sin and he made us right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Our sicknesses and healed us.
And there again where he said that his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him who's called us by glory and virtue.
Right there is a good point, right? Mm-hmm. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness.
Right.
Which is what is included in all things?
Healing.
All things, right?
All things.
Do you need healing and health for life?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So all things pertain to not only being able to live godly, but to live in your natural body, right? That would include healing, or even better yet, divine health, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, we're not supposed to really be living, needing a miracle from time to time, back and forth, right? Like, we should be living in divine health. Now, granted, we live in a fallen world, and sometimes sickness and stuff just comes, but that doesn't mean we're stuck there,
right?
That's right. Because he has given to us all things pertaining to life and godliness. They're already ours, we just need to appropriate it. But I think what I've noticed in my lifetime is the closer I walk daily with the Lord, the less often I end up having sickness to deal with. It's like you're so close to him on a regular basis. It's like you got a shield up around you, and just nothing gets a hold of you. Sickness doesn't get a hold of you. Just nothing. So I think this appropriates.
Bing, 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 bing.
Yeah, yeah. Like everything just bounces off. So I think we see how this does pertain to healing as well. So, but let's go back to what Blake was talking about, the faith. Right in the very first one here, the very first verse, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith. You right off the bat there, does anybody know what a bondservant is?
A slave.
Mm. A slave?
But isn't it a person who is chosen to stay?
And then, yeah.
A chosen slave, right?
Yes.
So can you explain that a little bit more?
Well, I think after 7 years, they were supposed to, in Jewish culture, they were supposed to let their slaves go.
Mm-hmm.
But if a slave loved their master so much and just wanted to serve, he would become a bondservant, and they would like put something on his arm or his wrist, and people would know. Yeah, people would know that this person has chosen to stay a servant.
Hmm. How good do you have to be to your slaves, right? For a person to be like, even though I'm free, I want to stay your slave because I love you so much.
Yeah.
Now think, apply that to us and Jesus. How good is Jesus?
Yeah.
That Peter is saying he's a bond servant and an apostle to Jesus Christ. I think this is important for us to recognize the fact that he's saying, I'm a bond servant. That means he's not his own. And we need to recognize, as Christ followers, we're not our own. We're not attaching Jesus to us. We are giving ourselves to him. He gave us his life. Now, our position should be that of a bond servant. Out of love for what he's done for us, your will, Lord. Are we looking for his will in everything? Are we willing to do whatever he says at whatever cost it may be to us? Because a slave or a servant doesn't have the right to pick or choose, do they?
Yeah.
And I think far too often as Christians, we'd spend too much time picking and choosing what we want to follow and don't want to follow.
That's true.
Right.
And what might that do to our walk and how we receive?
I think we've become, like he talked about later, that unstable man, you know, that is just
tossed with the waves of the ocean.
Yeah, because sometimes, yeah, we'll do it, and then other times we won't. But God is so good that when we don't, he doesn't punish us, but he does find a way to gently get us back and on track.
Right. I think at times we're all that way, though, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you have your times when you're like just Mr. Obedient. Every little thing you see, you hear, you're following the Lord, and everything's going really good. And then, you know, somehow some things, the world gets in a little bit somewhere, and then you find yourself picking and choosing a little bit. You know, that's why we need to continually renew our minds, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You all have to admit that. That's the truth.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that when you get... Oh,
you're not
sorry.
Perfect. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Let me interrupt you. I think that when we do get that way, it makes it really hard for us to hear the voice of God. There's too many voices coming, you know, even from yourself. It's harder to discern the voice of God when you are going back and forth.
Yeah, well, because then you can be easily deceived.
Yeah, you can be deceived. You're thinking it's God. It's really you. It's, you know, your appetites. And,
right.
Yeah, when that happens.
All right, so I think it's clear that it's important that we make Jesus our Lord, not just our Savior, right?
Right.
I mean, we can see that, and you know, somebody might save your life. I remember, when I was a little kid, we were driving in a car that I didn't have a seatbelt in the front seat, and my stepfather turned a sharp turn, and the door flew open. I flew out the door, and he reached out and grabbed my hand just as I was going out the door, and pulled me back in.
Wow.
He saved my life. But I don't go around daily thinking about how can I go serve my stepfather all these years. I didn't become a bond servant, right?
Right.
Because he was just my savior for that moment.
Right.
You know, if you're just looking for Jesus to be your Savior, chances are you're going to feel like you've joined the club. You know, you're going to heaven, good to go. Now I'm going to go live my life and attach Jesus to it wherever I see fit. And that's that wishy-washy Christianity where you're going to be double-minded and you're not going to see him working powerfully in your life, right? Mm-hmm. But it's that becoming the servant. He's got to be your Lord, not just your Savior.
I think some people don't out of fear because...
they think they're giving up too much.
Right, or they'll say, well,
he might want me to go to Africa.
Exactly. What if he sends me to Africa? Yeah. I don't want to go to Africa. But if you're seeking God and you're close to him and he wants you to go there, you're gonna want to go there.
He gives you the desires.
Exactly.
He gives you those desires.
So you'll want to go there. He's not going to send you someplace that you're absolutely going to hate.
Right.
Because that's just dead works. Now, all right, I'll go, but I don't want to.
We may be in situations we don't like, but we can have peace in it when we're gone, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, none of us really like the situation going on now with the next variant coming with the COVID thing, right? I mean, it seems like every couple of months they're going to come up with something else to try to, like, you can't have your life back because of this now.
And keep the fear going.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So none of us like that, but
you don't have that spirit.
But we can have peace in the middle of all that, right?
Right.
I mean, I'm not getting this bug.
No.
It's not part of my salvation. I'm not having any part of it. And whatever they're going to pull, whatever they're going to do, I can still have peace in the middle of it because my focus is on what does my Lord want me to do today, and I'm going to just focus on following his footprints each day, whatever that ministry might be. Maybe it's ministering to somebody who's in fear, whatever it is.
Or even if you do get it, you're still going to be in peace.
Yep, it's still a place of peace.
In the fallen world, it can happen.
Right. Stuff still happens to us, but how are we going to react to it? Are we going to be in fear like everybody else, or are we just going to
still praise God?
And take that stand and say, this is not going to take me out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's such a difference there.
Things can hit, but you're born again. It doesn't have a right to take you out, right?
Amen.
No, there's no condemnation. If you got COVID, there's no condemnation, but stand against it. You know, I've had many times when sickness tried to get a hold of me. I might be sick for a couple hours. I might be sick for a day or two. Mm-hmm. But it never gets a hold of me. It never gets rooted in there because I just don't give it a place for that. I continue to say no, and I get up and do what I normally do anyway. And before long, it's just not there anymore. So to those who obtain like precious faith. Now, here's where we get at that. The like precious faith. We don't, as believers, we don't have an inferior faith to Jesus or any of the apostles. We have the faith of
Jesus
Christ. So what does that mean to you, to have the faith of Jesus?
Jesus gave us his faith. So it's not my faith, it's his faith.
Can you expound on that?
Yeah. No, I really can't.
Whatever the Father says,
it's a perfect faith,
and you believe it completely.
Inexpendable faith. It doesn't expire.
Right.
It's there.
Mm-hmm. There's no unbelief.
There's no doubt.
Right.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So doubt would come from our natural side. Wouldn't come from the faith that Jesus gave us, right?
Right. Fear.
Don't let the doubt come.
Right.
There's no fear. There's no doubt. It's certain.
He says he's going to do something, the Lord's going to do that.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't question it.
The way I like to look at, we've been given the faith of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
This is the way I like to look at it. Jesus went to the cross because he had the faith that if he, the sinless man, God and man, that if he went to the cross to pay the price, went to the grave and rose again, he had the faith that that would be enough for all of us that would believe. Mm-hmm. So my faith isn't so much in my trying to build up enough faith to appropriate something. My faith is in the fact that Jesus had enough faith for me.
Right. That's what he meant.
Man, I can believe that.
Yeah,
he had enough faith for me, so it's already done. He had the faith, and I have the faith of him. How can anybody here not believe that Jesus had enough faith for your healing? And if he gave you his faith, then wow, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to drum up something in myself. I just need to believe Jesus had enough of it already and then gave it to me. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And this faith came through what?
Righteousness of
the
God.
The righteousness of God. Came from Jesus through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a gift. Somebody want to go to Ephesians 2:8 and read that for me? Ephesians 2:8.
For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
Mm-hmm. So we have faith as a gift, mm-hmm. just like we have righteousness as a gift. It's not dependent on what we do, right? But what Jesus already did. Think about that.
I think Hebrews 11 says it all. That it says that without faith, it's impossible to please God, because you must believe that He is and He will do as He says.
He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him.
Yes.
Yeah. And that kind of sums up that kind of faith. God just wants you to believe, and we have the faith of Christ to believe that He's going to do what He says He's going to do.
So I hit on something a second ago that's important with faith. Faith takes an action, right? If you really believe, then you're going to take an action in that direction,
yes.
right?
Yeah, make that step.
And I believe often when it comes to faith, the Lord will speak something to our heart, and then He expects us to make a movement in that direction, and then you see the results. For instance, like I said, when I feel something try to get a hold of me, some sort of bug that's trying to get a hold of me, my faith in the fact that that's not part of my salvation says, get up and do what you normally do. Don't just lay in bed and feel sick. Get up, take your shower, shave, do whatever you normally do, and go do your day. That's the step of faith that you take, not giving it a place in your body. If you can live with it, you can live with it. You know what I'm saying? So I think many times the place God wants us to live is that spot that's uncomfortable, but it's always taking another step where you don't see where it's going to lead, but you know He's leading already. And you take the step knowing that He's going to take care of it. I did that one recently myself. Took me a while to decide, but I felt like God was telling me to retire from my business. Stop doing it. And that was a leap of faith for me. When I finally decided that's what He was telling me, even though I don't see how that's supposed to work out, I took the step. I went ahead and I did it, and I know that because I took the step of obedience, because He's my Lord, not just my Savior, He's got a plan for it. I trust Him. He's going to work it all out. It's been like that with everything, and it'll be like that with you. If you're following the Lord, He's going to have you standing right on the edge of a dock, it seems like, right? And there's no more planks. The only thing left out there is water, and He's going to say, okay, I need you to take another step. And you're not going to see where to take that step, but when you take it, they'll be there. It will be there. That's kind of where He likes us to stay, because then we're dependent on Him and not ourselves. We get too comfortable depending on what we can do. But it's a great life to see what He can do when He takes you out in a place of faith and see things happen.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
All things He's asked you to do.
Right. When you try to do it on your own, you may have some success, but it'll wear you out and drag you down.
So we've been given God's righteousness as well, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
We have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That was a gift also, right? So what does it mean to be righteous, have the righteousness of God?
You're in right standing with God.
Mm-hmm. Right standing?
I want you to stand in the presence of God without guilt or shame.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what does that mean to you when you think, let's make it personal. When you think of yourself as having the righteousness of God, what does that mean to you specifically when it comes to your relationship with God?
It's His righteousness,
mm-hmm.
not mine. So I can't do anything to get rid of it, because He gave me His.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm complete that way. I mean, I always have access to God. Mm-hmm. Always can come into his presence because I'm righteous.
So if you've sinned and you know you sinned and you feel guilty, what about then?
You're spotless. You have an advocate with the Father.
You're spotless because of what Jesus did.
Yeah.
He's washed them all away.
Right. Still got access, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You just can walk into the throne room. Yep. Crawl into his lap.
Walk right in. You have a seat at the king's table.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No veil.
So many people don't believe this.
True.
I mean, it's very hard. Very few of my friends that are Christians know this. Very few. Mm-hmm. Nor do they even want to come into God's presence. Mm-hmm. You know,
there's a fear there.
It's getting out control. Mm-hmm.
There's a fear there of condemnation, not realizing that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, I've said towards a couple of you, I always thought, I never believed God loved me. I mean, he loved me because he had to, because I accepted him. But it wasn't until we started going to Bible school, at Caris Bible School, and we took Andrew Womack's Body, Soul, and Spirit, that it really clicked. That one-third of me is wall-to-wall Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And as far as God's concerned, I can do no wrong. I'm always welcomed. I'm always there. Not because of anything that I've done or said, but because of my spirit, which is righteous. That's what God looks at. And because of that, I can be free from condemnation.
He's a good dad. It's not like he doesn't know you did wrong.
Right.
But he doesn't hold that against you, right?
Right.
He just welcomes you up into his lap and then gently
directs you
how to make it right.
Right.
Yep, how to do better.
I can comment on that. I think that's a great teaching, obviously. You know, that your spirit, everything is done in your spirit. But eventually I started thinking that it wasn't yet in my body. It wasn't yet in my soul. And it was like then you had to kind of work at getting it into your soul and into your body. But then I started seeing scriptures where it says, if Christ is in you, the Spirit will quicken your mortal body and make it alive unto God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you're you have to still consider yourself whole.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit, soul, and body.
Well, that's
even though it's separated, like, but you know.
Right.
Because really, I went for years now after I received salvation and all this knowledge and all so-and-so. But then I still was thinking it was in my spirit. Now, my body still wasn't receiving it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I had to start putting it together again.
Right. Well, like Romans 12:1 says, you know, you have to renew your mind.
Yeah.
And you have to do it on a daily basis until your mind gets it. You know, it goes from the head knowledge into your heart, and then you're just like, I got it.
We're like a computer. There's right. The default switch, right? And you always go back to manufacturer's settings by hitting the default. Well, I wake up in the mornings, most mornings, before my coffee on duh. And I need to hit the reset to remind me I'm a child of God, that I'm righteous, I'm redeemed.
Right?
Because when you're groggy and tired and you stub your toe on the way out of the bedroom on the dog's face and he's barking and you're bleeding, it's hard to remember you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, right?
Amen.
Wake up, brush it off, and remind yourself who you are.
When we wallow in that, for lack of a better word, in that self-pity, it does nobody good. You know, you throw a pity party and the only person there is you. And that doesn't help anybody when you just live in the past and, oh, I did this and, oh, I did that. And God doesn't want you to live like that. That's why Paul talked about forgetting the things that were in the past. And he was one of the worst sinners. I mean, well, not worst sinners, but, you know, he killed Christians. He went after them. That's why he called himself, you know, the chief of sinners. But he learned how to how to put it to the pass and allow God's forgiveness to work in him. Else he would have never been able to do what he did.
We can be our own worst enemies when it comes to our past. You ever just sit there and just, you know, you're not even thinking of stuff, but, you know, might even be reading your Bible or watching a Christian teaching online or something like that, and then all of a sudden something from your past pops up in your mind. You're like, where does that come from?
Right.
You know? And then we're our own worst enemy. Sometimes we take and we dwell on that and instead of putting it back where it belongs in the past, right?
Right.
So like precious faith through the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because we are righteous, we are made right, not by our actions, but by Christ's actions, to have perfect access to the Father at all times, just like Jesus. So we have the faith of Jesus, which had perfect access to the Father at all times. And he went and did only what he heard the Father say to do. So we have the same ability with the same faith to hear the Father because of the righteousness of Christ, to hear him as clearly as Jesus did. If we will keep the world from clouding our mind up so we can hear. This is a prayer I pray all the time. Father, help me to see the spiritual more clearly than the natural so I can live in the natural by the Spirit. I pray that regularly. All right, moving on. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord and Jesus of our Lord Jesus. Grace and peace multiplied to you. Why do we need grace and peace first, and why do we need it multiplied?
Seems like the world completes our grace and peace. We've got just this last year, how many people have fallen into that, oh my gosh, I'm going to die because I'm going to get COVID. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, if I die, all that's gone away, yay.
Yeah, right.
not that I want to die, but you get what I'm saying?
If that's the worst
situation.
If that's the worst thing that happens, right, you still win.
Come on, you know, but that's our grace, if we don't understand grace, the flowing of mercy and unmerited favor, then we are not going to be able to function in the way that God wants us to, I think. And the peace, that shalom peace, this is, although I think this one's Sosa, I'm not sure, but shalom peace, nothing missing, nothing broken.
Everything whole.
If we can remember that, then we have wholeness. That's our wholeness.
And wholeness also speaks to what this class is about, right?
Yes. Healing.
Healing is in the wholeness.
The righteousness includes all that.
Right.
So we, like you said, we sort of parse things out. And
it's through the knowledge of God. It's like the more you know who God is in you and what he's already done for you, it's like that's when it gets multiplied. I mean, without the knowledge of God, I mean, most of the people out there that say they're Christians and they're going, oh my God, I'm going to die. Yeah. They don't have that knowledge of what he's done for us.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God.
Well, the truth, hearing the truth. I mean, a lot of these Christians aren't learning the truth.
Well, they're learning facts. They're not learning truth.
Right.
There's facts and there's truth.
Right. Or they're only learning half the Bible. I mean, they're not going into the healings and all that.
So, if faith comes by hearing the word of God, think about what their fear comes from.
Right.
The mass media is constantly this,
the same
this. Look at the spiking now and here, and we're going to have to shut down every day. I don't even listen to it, but I get things pop up on my phone, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, really?
Oh, it's a lot to be fearful if you don't know God.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's daily. Yeah. It's by minute by minute by minute by minute. There's something new coming out.
So you need grace and peace.
Right.
You need grace and peace multiplied to deal with all the stuff that comes at you, right?
Just to get up in the morning.
So if you know grace, doesn't grace bring peace?
Yes.
Yes.
Think about that, right? When before you understood grace, I mean, you had some peace, but once you really got a hold of the revelation of what grace is, that that it means everything's already done. It's not not dependent on what I do, but what Jesus did for me.
Right.
Didn't that bring a peace?
Such a freedom.
And with that, what else came?
Peace.
Peace. Well, grace. The knowledge of grace brought a peace, which brings what?
Healing and wholeness.
power for whatever is needed, right? There's a power in grace and peace. Think about this. When you're frustrated and you don't have any peace, are you walking in power?
No.
Why do you think they're selling so much fear?
Well, zapping your power.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The devil is hard at work to keep you out of your peace because he knows that when you're peaceful, you're powerful.
Right.
Keep your mind on the things of the world instead of the things of God.
Absolutely.
That's where, you know, Paul said, bring all your thoughts into captivity. Yes.
Right.
I picture it in, I grew up with cowboys. So I believe, I picture it a corral, and right. you're bringing all your little cattle in there, and you're checking them out.
Right.
Who's diseased? Who needs to be branded? Who needs to? You're consistent. You're specifically looking at each thought. In this case, your cow, and you're checking to see what do you do with it.
Well, compartmentalizing things and then taking it to Christ.
Yeah.
All right. What does this need? All right. What does this need?
What's the basis for this one? What's the basis for that one? You know. And then you're proactive. And doing something about whatever it is you come up with.
Otherwise, you get overwhelmed by looking at everything as a whole.
Yes.
But when you break it down into, you compartmentalize things, right? Like if you made a list of the things you need to do in a day and you take them one at a time, get them done, right? But if you look at them all at once, it's just overwhelming. Well, the world comes at you if you can compartmentalize these things and then take them to Christ. Okay, what does the Word say about this one?
Right.
What does the Word say about this one? Instead of look at them all as a whole, where they seem overwhelming.
Well, one of the things, like about the fear that the media and the world is trying to feed, that actually makes you sick.
Yes.
As you're listening to that, you know, that fear creeps up, and then it kind of gives the enemy an inroad. But if you're filled up with the grace and the peace that it from Christ, the enemy doesn't have that inroad.
Mm.
That fear is not there.
They're like fiery darts.
Right. Mm-hmm. The fear is what causes all this stuff. And then the peace is what is like the antidote, if you will.
And the thing about fear is it's false evidence appearing real.
Right.
It's not real. It just looks real.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It can smell real. It can taste real. But it's false. And so they have built this whole thing on false evidence appearing real, but it's purposeful on their part.
Mm-hmm. What spirit is real and eternal?
Could it be like a plan, like a healing plan? You know, and you got the worldly plan. You got to fight against the plan, or not fight. You got to do something with the plan to your plan. Christ's got a plan for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
The agenda for the world, the real world, whatever that we want to call it now, is worse than whatever it was because of the mass media.
Mm-hmm.
So it's combative.
Mm-hmm.
Or combative. You get peace of mind or feeling.
Yeah. And we may not have a platform like the media does to reach the masses, but each one of us can reach the people in our realm of influence, right?
Well,
and if you reach the people in your realm of influence and they reach people in the realm of you can be surprised how quickly that can spread.
I was going to say, word of mouth actually spreads faster than the media.
Yeah.
No,
more believable.
Right.
So grace and peace be multiplied through our knowledge, through the knowledge of Him who called us to glory and virtue. So how do we get knowledge of God? The Word, that's why it's so important, right?
Right.
If you're not spending time in the Word regularly, you're not going to have the power that you need to have. We grow in that grace and that peace as we're in the Word. You know, when we spend time with God, I mean, it's good to invite Him into your whole day. I mean, it's great to get up in the morning and read the Word and pray, but invite Him into all day. Take Him with you wherever you're at, because the more time you're spending with Him, the more you just are empowered. The more happens in a second in His presence than a year just reading and praying. I'm not saying reading and praying is wrong, but inviting Him into everything means you're with Him all day long. You don't want to just get in for a short time in the morning and then turn Him off for the rest of the day. You want to hear His voice in everything. Meditate on that Word throughout the day. Meditate on the things you see and what it means in the kingdom. Bring everything into kingdom sense when you see it throughout the day instead of just the natural mind. That's really spending time with God, and things take a whole different view. When sickness starts to hit your body, if immediately you're thinking spiritual instead of worldly, you're going to think, Lord, this thing that just seems to be hitting me all of a sudden, wait a minute, this doesn't belong, does it? What does your word say about that? And you're going to start thinking about the things the word says, and you know that sickness that's trying to get a hold of you is just going to have a harder time getting any roots going, right? So the word is so important. We need to spend time in his word to know him. The more we know him, the more grace and peace we have. And grace mm-hmm. and peace empowers us to live godly.
Well, it says in the word, too, that it says that the Lord has no place to call his own. So when I talk with the Lord, I say to the Lord, I said, welcome you into your home, Lord, to come and talk, come to rest, whatever you may want to do. And that's, I welcome him into my home. I tell him to come in. Because he says that he has no place to call his own. But he does when he comes in the house.
Well, he does once he raised from the grave, right? Because the Holy Spirit came and now he has a home where?
Right.
In us.
Right.
He's always got a home. We don't have to look up to pray. We don't look here to pray. He's right here. We are his home. And yes, welcome him into our life, not just into our bodies. Okay, verse 3 says, his divine power has given us to all things that pertain to life and godliness. And that includes health and healing. All things for life and godliness. The more we get to know him, the more we understand grace, the more peace we have, the more you're going to walk godly without even trying.
Right.
It's when you're trying to do it that you fall miserably short. And you know, that's why so many people leave the church. Because they either feel like a hypocrite or a failure trying to do it right all the time and always failing. And nobody wants to feel like either of those things. So eventually, they just go away from Christianity and the church because they don't want to feel like a hypocrite or a failure. And that's what religion does. It makes people feel like a hypocrite or a failure because you're looking to yourself to accomplish what's already been done. We've been given his righteousness, his faith, which gives it through grace and peace, which empowers us to live godly without even trying. It comes from the inside out instead of trying to get it from the outside in. So how do we get all these things? Through the knowledge of him who has called us through by virtue and glory. Everything comes through that knowledge. Can somebody go to Colossians 2 for me? Colossians 2, 9 and 10. He's given us everything we need when we are born again. Anybody got that?
For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power.
Said we're what in him?
Complete.
Complete. Anybody think of themselves as complete in Christ?
Not in the natural.
But what does the word say?
Yes, you are.
Absolutely.
So if you've been made complete in him, then we just need to start appropriating that in every part of us, right? Is your body not part of you?
Right.
Yep. He's given us everything for life and godliness. That includes health. And he says we're complete in him. Then that would also go towards your health or your healing.
Yeah.
It's not that we need anything that we don't already have. We just need a revelation of what we've already got. How about Philemon 1:6? Philemon? Philemon?
Yeah.
There's all kinds of different ways to say it, Mike. Somebody want to get that for me?
That's why I always use my phone. It's easier to find.
I know. Yeah.
When I'm studying or I'm at home, my Bible, but when I'm here, it's easier to find on my phone.
Now it's all the good things that are in here.
So what is it?
Philemon 1:6.
I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ.
So we've already got it in Christ.
Right.
And it says maybe that sharing our faith will help us to understand what we've already got more, right?
Right.
That's a principle. Give out what you've already got. God didn't give us everything just to be a bucket and hold everything. We're supposed to be a funnel that allows it to pour through us. The more you pour into others, mm-hmm. the more gets poured through you. But do you ever notice when you pour something through a funnel, what happens to the funnel?
It gets wet.
It gets wet too, right? Mm-hmm. All right. We have run out of time. We can't even get to the rest of this. But just real quick, the last part said that, let me really quick just hit it. By which we have been given exceeding great precious promises that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We are partakers in the divine nature. God's nature is what we have now, and we are partakers of that. It's the lust for worldly things that keeps us from receiving. In other words, the more worldly you are, the less powerful you'll be. The more you lust after the things of the world, the less you're going to hear God, the less you're going to walk in the things that God has for you. You can be powerful or weak, depending on where your focus is at. If your focus is on the Lord, and you're spending time with the Lord, and you're getting to know the Lord, grace and peace will empower. If you're spending time getting to know the world, it's just draining your battery. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that we've already been made righteous, that we have grace and peace. Father, I just pray that grace and peace be multiplied, like your word says, in each one of us, that we would walk powerfully, but powerfully so that we will affect those around us, that there'll be that something about us that draws people to your flame, that changes other lives, that we would walk whole, complete, healed, healthy, empowered with your righteousness. And that others would come to you in that same way through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.